Cozy TV.
As exuberant as I was yesterday, I am depressed today. I don't know if I'm just not feeling well, or if I'm truly depressed of spirit, just thinking of this teaching of eternal torment and the damage it does to our Father. I mean, just imagine somebody getting online and making a channel dedicated to calling your Father a liar, a hypocrite, a murderer, a thief. It's just, who among us would stand for that? And yet, every day, from the organized religion known as Christianity, this false image of God goes out. And I was thinking, you know, that's the one thing that the Christians laud is the Ten Commandments. We've been talking about that on the Grace Cafe radio broadcast. And yet, the first commandment is to serve, to worship only God and have no other false gods before you, and certainly to make no graven images of the true God. Because the one thing God hates more than anything is a false representation. There's only one true representation of God, and that is Jesus Christ. And he's the Lamb of God. And he is meek, and he is humble, and he died for the sins of the world. That's the true representation of God. God could not die for the sins of the world, but you realize that if he could, he would have. God died through his Son. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying God died, but it's impossible for that. But he experienced it through his Son. He wanted to do that. Thus, God loves the world, that he gives his only begotten Son. And if God's anything like the best of the best of an earthly parent, they will do anything for their kids. They would die for their children, would they not? Wouldn't you die for your children? But God couldn't do that. It was very difficult to see the cause is to send his Son to do that. It was the most noble, the most honorable thing God could have done. No one has greater love than this, than to give up their life for a friend. God is the most loving, noble being, if I can put it that way, in the universe. And yet, his name, his character is defiled, stomped on, trashed, obliterated by the religion that claims his name. And who are breaking the first commandment, they have nothing good to say about the nation of Israel at the foot of Mount Sinai. They can't believe how these people could possibly, in the absence of Moses on the top of the mount, turn to idolaters in 5 minutes. They absolutely don't understand how that could happen. And yet they are doing the very same thing. From the jump, from the get-go, they're worshiping. If only they were worshiping a golden calf, that would be nice. Nice shiny gold animal. That would be terrific compared to what they're doing. Compared to the image they have made of our Father. Exodus chapter 20. Verse 1, Elohim spoke all these words, saying, I, Yahweh, am your Elohim, who brought you forth from the land of Egypt, from the house of servants. There shall not come to be other Elohim for you in preference to me. You shall not make for yourself a carving, nor any physical representation of that in the heavens above, or that on the earth beneath, or that in the waters beneath the earth. You shall not bow yourself down to them, nor be made to serve them. For I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am a jealous El. And yet, the same people who would be loath to ever serve idols is exactly what they are doing. They are idolaters to the very last one, because they've made a false representation of God. And as I said, this is shocking, but if only it were a golden calf or an image made of stone or wood, if only God went ballistic back in the day with images, graven images. The good kings of Israel would go throughout the land destroying all the fetishes, the images, the idols. But these were pleasant. These were pleasant little carvings compared to the false god that Christianity is serving. They are bowing down to an idol, to another deity. I've told you before, but if you're new to this show, you'll be hearing this for the first time. There is actually a false god in charge of every religion on the face of the earth, because there are small g gods. We all know this. 1 Corinthians 8:6. There are many termed gods in the world, but for us there's only one God, the Father, out of whom all is, one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through whom all is, but not in all is there this knowledge. Well, that's the truth. There is only one God, capital G God, but there are many termed gods. They're very powerful false gods in the universe. And it is their primary objective to turn the world from the true God. And the best means they have found, the best agency they have developed, is religion. Because religion serves two purposes. It gets vast amounts of people to think they are serving God, while at the same time, they are in fact serving a false God. I have posited before that I believe Baal Peor, an actual name of a false god, I believe Baal Peor is the god that Christianity is worshiping. When the veil finally comes off, the billions of people who call themselves Christians will find out that this whole time they have been worshiping a false god, the most audacious of all the false gods, because this false god, I'm just going to call him Baal Peor, it's one of the Baals. This false god has taken the name of God in Christ, taken the name Elohim, and put it on himself, and says, I am Elohim. There's no more satanic crime. There are four major religions on the earth. Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, and Christianity. And the most demonic religion is Christianity. Why? Because it's the most deceptive. Because the God that runs Christianity, Baal Peor, has hijacked the very name of God and Christ. This is why Paul says you are serving a different Jesus. Has hijacked the name of Jesus Christ too, the very one who saves. This false God and his subordinates have also taken the name of Jesus Christ. And anytime someone sees a vision of this Christ or this God, it is not the true. It's a demonic manifestation. I believe all the pictures, the artwork we see of Jesus Christ in classic art, I believe they're all representations of this false God. Jesus Christ doesn't look like that. We don't know what he looks like, but it's not that. Satan disguises himself as a messenger of light. And his subordinates as dispensers of righteousness. Boy, when the curtain comes off, that's going to be something, isn't it? Talk about weeping and gnashing of teeth. And they're going to arrest. God's finally going to arrest Baal Peor. Lock his hands behind his back and perp walk him off the scene. And there's going to be billions and billions of people in complete and total shock and anguish and agony. Because the whole time they have been idolaters. Because God is a God of love. He's a God of kindness. He's a God of goodness. He's a God of salvation. He is not the arbitrary, vindictive murderer, torturer, despot, criminal of the Christian religion. That's how they have painted him. And this God, the false God is so deceptive. He's gotten the worshippers, he's gotten the idol worshippers to actually say that he is love. And they can look at the specter of billions being tortured for eternity by this God, and they can say, well, that's his love. It's love. This is the epitome of brainwashing. It's the epitome of cult worship, of idolatry. It is so evil. It is so dirty. And what are Christians fighting? Pornography. R-rated movies. It's while Satan works the worst evil that can be imagined through their midst. This is a thing that has never ceased to shock me. And I've said that many times, that Satan, the prince of darkness himself, has given this religion a false enemy to battle. Isaiah said, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And I've thought of a new metaphor. Those who believe in this false God, who claim it's the true God, it's like they have leprosy. They're lepers. They have a disfigured faces. And those of us who have come out of the darkness into the light to be introduced to the real God, we can see the leprosy on their faces, and they wonder why their sermons and their worship services and their great convocations and their crusades, they wonder why people, regular normal people, turn away and are repulsed by it. It's because they don't see that their faces are leprous. They are covered with this evil, evil teaching of eternal torment. They're covered with it. And it's any normal person can see them, and they're repulsed, and they turn away. No matter how much they might talk about grace or talk about goodness or talk about love, no one believes them because they're a pack of hypocrites. Most of the world doesn't know why. They just know that when they look at these people, they see ugliness, because they have more spiritual perception than the people organizing the Crusades than the people at the pulpits. The world has more spiritual perception. The world who runs full speed away from these hypocrites has more spiritual perception. They can see the leprosy. They can see the awful growth on the face. Back in the day, they had places for lepers. They had leper colonies where it was a contagious disease. I don't know if it still is, but it was back in the day, and they had colonies for these people. And I was thinking to myself, there should be colonies for these people who believe in eternal torment. But there is. There are colonies. There are leper colonies. They're called churches. Those are the leper colonies. Those were, at least they're isolated. They're isolated in their houses of, quote, worship, unquote. If we could just keep them there. But no, they keep trying to get out, and they keep broadcasting, and they keep trying to infect the rest of the world. But no matter what they do or what they say, they carry that virus with them wherever they go. Well, this has been a rather downbeat broadcast, but I will end on a positive note as I develop this analogy of the leprous face. And of course, amongst themselves, they can't see it, because they're all covered with it. They all think it's normal. It's the banality of evil. Evil has become banal. It's become so commonplace that they don't know how evil it is. They don't know how repulsive it is to normal people who are not in the cult. Normal people who have not taken the false name. Before I go to a good verse, I'm going to finish in Exodus here. Exodus 20. Verse 7, in the same context, where Israel's told not to make false images of God. You shall not take up the name of Yahweh your Elohim for futility. For Yahweh shall not hold innocent him who takes up his name for futility. They have taken up his name. The whole Christian religion, every last one of them, has taken up his name for futility. Why is it futility? Because it's Baal Peor that has taken his name. It's the false god that has taken his name. And they claim his name, but they do not know him. And Jesus will say, I do not know you. Depart from me, workers of lawlessness. I never knew you. And he never knew. Think of that. Many will be saying to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do all these wonderful works in your name? And he'll say, I never knew you. They'll say, but Lord, we worship you every Sunday in church. And he'll say, that wasn't me. And then the false deity will be walked out, and this is the one you were worshiping. You never knew me. I'm the Lamb of God. I'm the one who went to the cross and shed my blood, that in that blood everything created in the heavens and in the earth would be reconciled, conciliated to God through my blood. You never knew me, and I never knew you. That's the one you were worshiping the whole time. Oh, what a diabolical genius plan of Satan's to engage people in thinking they're worshiping the true God, but they're actually worshiping the false God. In the meantime, this awful message, this awful deceit, this awful lie goes out and turns the world from God. Paul says concerning the Jews in Romans 2, says, because of you, the name of God is blasphemed among the nations. Certainly can be said of the false god proffered by Christianity, called the true. They call him by the name of the true God, which angers me. They've taken his name for futility. It doesn't count. None of it counts. None of it, none of what they are doing counts with God. And that will be a terrible, terrible shock. I don't love that day for them, because it's going to be terrible. It's going to be worse than Peter, who, when he realized he denied his Lord, wept bitterly. It's going to be that times 100, times 1,000. It's going to be terrible. I don't want to see any of it. I don't hope for that for any of those people. I want them to see the light, see the truth before that hour, but I don't know. We do what we can. You know, I've made almost 3,000 videos trying to help these people, trying to tell them the truth, but eyes, they have eyes that don't see, ears that don't hear. And they've taken his name for futility. Isn't that ironic? The common versions say, don't take his name in vain. This is how petty and how stupid that whole religion is. They think that's saying goddamn or Jesus Christ. They think that that's the crime. They think that that's the crime. And they're so proud of themselves because they've never said goddamn or Jesus Christ, or they've never said any of that at all, ever, you know. So they think they're clean. And yeah, they've committed this, the crime of all time, and it's idolatry. And they're all idolaters from start to finish. At least they're in their leper colonies, but they keep trying to get out. This is why Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, he lists all these sins of how men will be in the last days: selfish, fond of money, ostentatious, proud, calumniators, stubborn to parents, ungrateful, malign, without natural affection, implacable, adversaries, uncontrollable, fierce, averse to the good, traitors, rash, conceited, fond of their own gratification rather than fond of God. That's the key sin here, fond of their own gratification. It's also called, that's a nice way of saying self-righteousness, rather than fond of God, having a form of devoutness yet denying the power. There it is. Form. It's all form, but it denies the power. Denies the power of grace, the power of salvation, the power of love. Denies it all. What does Paul say we're to do? These also shun. We're to shun them like lepers. I'm not saying we shouldn't have social contact with them, but as far as any kind of conversation in the faith or any kind of fellowship, forget it. Shun them like the lepers that they are. Second Corinthians chapter 4, therefore, having this dispensation, according as we were shown mercy, we are not despondent, except for me today, but we spurn the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor yet adulterating the word of God. These people, they've adulterated the word of God. They've embraced adulterated versions of the word of God. The word Ionian, mistranslated eternal, they've adulterated it, and they've actually used the false word of God, the adulterated word of God, to defend the false teaching of eternal conscious torment. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in God's sight. We're in God's sight, and we look God in the eye, not veil pure. We've shed all the vestiges of idolatry, and we have turned to the true God by the grace of God. Verse 3 of chapter 4, now if our evangel is covered, and it is covered in those who are perishing, the idolaters, in whom the god of this eon, small g, the god of this eon, blinds the apprehensions of the unbelieving. The people I'm talking about in the churches who are worshiping, 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 one worship song after another worship song. They're unbelievers. To the very last one of them, they're unbelievers, because their apprehension of the God they are worshiping has been blinded by who? The ultimate small g God, the Prince of Darkness, Satan himself. He is the one who has arranged for these false deities to run the largest religions on the earth. The job of religion is to keep people from knowing the true God. The true God. And how do you keep people from knowing the true God? By occupying them with worshiping a false God, and then disguising that false God as the true God. And in this, in the case of the Christian religion, actually taking the name of the true God. That is why Christianity is the most deceptive religion on earth, more than Islam, more than Buddhism, more than Hinduism, because those false gods have not had the audacity or the criminal mentality to take the name of Yahweh, Elohim, and Jesus Christ. The God of this eon blinds the apprehensions of the unbelieving, so that the illumination of the evangel of the glory of Christ, who is the image, here it is, the image of the invisible God, Jesus Christ, the one against whose breast John rested his head at the Last Supper, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, takes away the sins of the world. This one is the image of the invisible God. If he's a Lamb of God, therefore God is a Lamb. The whole demonstration of Mount Sinai was to prepare the human race via the experience of Israel, by watching the experience of Israel, for a manifestation of a Savior. It was all purposeful to bring humanity via the experience of Israel into the light, into the truth, by seeing the contrast of the holiness, the majesty, the inapproachability of God, and then seeing God now in the face of Jesus Christ. Law came through Moses. Grace came through Jesus Christ. The evangel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, does not irradiate them. For we are not heralding ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, yet ourselves your slaves because of Jesus. For the God who says that out of darkness light shall be shining is he who shines in our hearts with a view to the illumination of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face, the pure, unsullied, beautiful, loving face of Jesus Christ.